Hello and welcome to the Digital Leaders Podcast. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about what sorts of things you can be expecting to see in the future, as well as apps useful for school, the new iPhone, and the new consoles that you'll be seeing sometime in the near future. Hello, it's Alex here, and I'm here at the moment to tell you some sort of future technologies you can expect to be seeing in the upcoming years. First of all, there's something you may have heard about before. It's called the home of the future, and while there is no one particular one, there are a lot of examples, including a show home in central London. The App Apartment House is the ultimate house of the future, with all devices fitted being linked up to a central computer system fitted by a company who owns the house, Cornflake. The house also runs a media system known as Kaleidoscape, in which you place all CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays and game console discs, and the computer rips all the data from them to an internal drive, so the products can be experienced from anywhere in the house. One drawback of this system is Kaleidoscape will only allow you to use the product if the disc is inside the system, in order that it not be subject to copyright laws. You can still remove the disc and take it somewhere else, but the feature will not be displayed around the house until the disc is replaced. Secondly is a concept for a brand new breed of phone. How long would you say that you have a phone for? They might last you a few years at the most, but think, what other devices do you swap and change every 18 months? All your personal devices, and they all share one common problem, they break easily. It's not just that they break easily, it's usually just one component that's broken, the battery. Just throwing it out is harmful to the environment, especially considering the other components could be used elsewhere. Phone Blocks is an idea for a new type of phone. It comprises of a front, middle and back, with the middle of it as a motherboard, basically one thin slab of plastic that contains hundreds of metres of tiny wire connecting everything that makes the phone up. The front of it is just a normal touchscreen, but the back is where everything is new. Instead of housing all the components inside the phone, they're kept in blocks at the back. Each block has a set amount of pins that stick out and simply slot into the motherboard, giving you that ability. The blocks are all held in place by a thin plastic cover and tiny screws. The reason for all of this is, say, if your battery's old, then you simply have to go down to the shop, buy a new battery block for cheap and swap it with your old one. The old one will then be recycled into a new battery block. Another pro of this is, say, you don't want a camera but a longer battery life. You can simply remove the camera block and put in a new battery one. This is the ultimate customizable phone, but don't be put off by the use of my word blocks. This is the least blocky phone ever, with prototypes being the same as, yet thinner than your everyday iPhone.
Hello, this is Emma.
And I'm Sian.
And we're here to tell you about the latest apps for school.
Okay, the first app we're going to talk about is one called iStudios Pro. It's been named as one of the must-have apps for this year and is a studio organiser, which is basically a homework planner, but online. So it's much better organised and it's a lot cooler than the normal homework planners.
Now we're going to talk about My Homework Student. This app was rated 4.4 out of 5 by 2,081 people. For all types of phones and tablets, it's absolutely free. You can use it anywhere for all types of things. It's colour-coded and it tells you what homework's coming up and if library books are overdue and stuff.
Okay, and the last one we're going to talk about is the Loughborough University, the Math Cards. And these Loughborough Uni cards are just simple apps for iPhone and iPods, which have plenty of GCSE and A-level courses for the GCSE and A-level students, which have plenty of revision topics and useful lessons for the students.
Hi, my name's Ben, and I'm here to talk to you about the iPhone. Swapper brought out its first iPhone, called the iPhone, and it was a success due to the fact it was so simple and the apps were only a click away. The design was so attractive and Apple had a hit of gold mine. Apple then realised they could bring out the next iPhone with a few small changes and still make hundreds of more pounds, even though they could have made a 3 times better phone. The reason they didn't make the 3 times better phone is because they had more phones they could make more money. There will always be people out there who want an iPhone, the newest version. I believe it's also a sign of class. If you see someone on the street and they have an iPhone 4S and the other person has an iPhone 5, it clearly shows you the person's much more wealthy. Even though it may not be the case, many people see it then that way. The iPhone may not be his most technologically advanced phone, but it far has the best software. Apple's biggest competitor, Android, has to cater for hundreds of phones from the cheapest and not as powerful phones to some of the best phones on the market. This means, in simpler terms, Android has to dumb down its software so most phones can use it. On the other hand, Apple only has to cater for 3 phones at the most at a time, so that they have more capabilities in what they can do in their software.
Hi, this is the new console section of the podcast, and I'll be talking about the Xbox One and the 2DS. The Xbox One is the up-and-coming game console, sequel to the Xbox 360, which was announced in the middle of May. Like I said, it's the third in the Xbox family consoles, but there's going to be a lot of new games coming out for it, like Forza Motorsport 5, reveal of Killer Instinct, the Project Spark, which is one of the main features about it, where you can design your own game within a game that you can play on the game. And a new Halo game's coming out. Another thing that's good about the Xbox One is you can connect up to 8 controllers all at once, but even if it's a £20 each, that's an extra £160 to play 8 people. Some bad points about it is it's very expensive for a games console, but it's promised to do lots of different things, like it can be a TV recorder, it can play movies, high definition. Unfortunately, what it's promising is to be able to watch TV on your TV, which I'm not a big fan of, considering I have a TV at home that won't have £50 to use it through an Xbox controller. Also, a bad thing is there's no backwards compatibility, although they have got rid of the DRM, and the problem was that you couldn't use a game on more than one console, so if you wanted a game and you took it to your friend's house, it wouldn't play. But the save files would transfer over if you logged in on a Microsoft account.
I want to be talking about the new PS4. The Xbox One is expensive, but the PS4 is £100 cheaper. And it's less of a do-everything kind of thing and more of a gaming machine that does games well. And it's... And that one of the bad points, though, is they've changed it and you now do have to pay for the PlayStation Network.
Which was one of the advantages over the Microsoft Xbox Live, which you had to pay for. But now it's exactly the same price, so if you're betting all the consoles for that, there's no point.
You can also connect the actual PS4 with the PS Vita.
Which allows portability on single-player games and local co-op with other PS Vitas. When you take it outside, you just have to use the PSN. And you're probably expecting something along the lines of the Wii U, but the 2DS is what I'll be talking about from Nintendo. And there has been a lot of controversy about it, because it's a 2DS is the sequel to a 3DS. So what they've done is they've took a 3D console and made it 2D. And a lot of people online have been giving hate about, oh, it doesn't fit in your pocket, oh, they made a kids product, who would want to buy that? But that's the point, you don't. If it's a kids product, it's not for you. It's like, say, if I like bikes, and say there's a bike company called Steel or something, and I like the mountain bikes, and they're very powerful and the best of the best, and suddenly they decide, oh, we'll make a cheaper bike for kids, a trike, almost. I wouldn't go around shouting at them saying, you've ruined the market because you're making a new bike for a different audience. No, they're branching out into younger versions, younger gamers, to bring an extensive library of games to people who have no use for the 3D products and may even cause damage to their eyes. It's almost like a Game Boy Advance was to us. They brought the Nintendo GameCube games to a portable, cheap console that didn't necessarily always fit in your pocket and didn't fold like the 3DS, but it was one of my favourite consoles from my childhood. So the 2DS, again, for children, don't moan about something that isn't for you.